Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Three. Hello and welcome to another episode of the C-Squared Podcast. It's your host, Curtis, with my co-host, Effie. Yes, Effie is now a co-host. She did one episode with Holly so far, and now she's done so well, we've now made her a co-host. And like all co-hosts, she decided she wanted to interview me. God knows why. I don't have a fucking clue why she would want to do such a thing. But I know Aaliyah and Holly both did interviews with me in the past, and I think Gaia might have too. Don't quote me on that. But anyways, instead of asking me personally, Effie decided she wanted to make this public. So this doesn't get too embarrassing. So over to you, Effie, and put me under the microscope and the radar here.
I will. Hello, Curtis, and welcome to the C-Squared Podcast, where I'm interviewing you.
Thank you.
For those of you who might not know, Curtis is our fearless leader and is also in PR. I know, shocker.
Yeah.
Can you briefly introduce yourself for anyone who by some miracle doesn't know anything about you?
That would be very weird if they're listening to this podcast. Okay, so basically I've been doing PR since 2012, kind of fell into it by accident. Started with a band called Scythe, doing free campaigns, moved on to some paid ones within about a month, month and a half, started my own company in 2014, and then started C-Squared with Corey last year. After we initially started the C-Squared podcast in March of last year, I think it was March 3rd or 4th or something like that. And then we turned into a company in June of last year. So it was no longer just me as Dewar PR, but now C-Squared, because there's two C's, Corey, Curtis, and now we kind of work it together. And then we had Holly, Gaia, you, Aaliyah all join as well. And yeah, that's the nutshell version of me.
So what did you do before you were doing PR, and how exactly did you end up getting into that?
It was a complete accident. So before that, I'd done a number of jobs. I think the last one, like I'd worked in a lot of kitchens. I'd done management for, I'd done some management stuff. I'd also done some retail. I'd also done phone sales, stuff like that. It was like a whole mishmash of different things, right? There wasn't anything that particular that I actually did. I was like, I did a whole bunch of different things is the thing. Nothing too spectacular, nothing too interesting. But one time I'd always written from the time I was like little. I would always read books. I usually read between 50 to 150 books a year, and I've always wanted to read. And I got published when I was 15, 16, I think, might have been 17. Don't quote me, exact age. Got paid for first thing I wrote when I was 17 or 18. I think it wasn't much money, but that was the first time I got paid. And then I got out of it and just decided to start writing in 2012, got in touch with some people for metal places and just started writing.
What was the, what was your first thing that you got published? What was it?
Oh, that was a while ago. It was for a print, it was like a short story. It was like a horror short story. I can't even remember what the place was. Yeah. I actually do not remember the name of it. I think it was Australian though, believe it or not. I think.
Did you find, because you were writing for metal places and stuff, did you find that your experience there shaped the way that you approach PR?
To be honest, the only reason why I got into PR was because of writing. I'm not really sure what I was planning on doing at the time, but I just basically started writing for any place that would take me. I didn't do anything really that big. But apparently I did not too badly because I ended up getting paid within the first month. And apparently most people don't do that. It wasn't very much, but again, I got two paying gigs within the first month. And I mean, I'm not that good at what I do. So I fluked out. I don't know how I did it. What was the question? How did it shape? Basically what it did is it just gave me a bunch of contacts. And then I started getting asked to help bands with different things. And I just did it. And then, yeah, I hope that answers the question.
Yeah. Is there anything about PR that... you learned about what other people were doing that made you change the way that you were going to do it when you started PR?
Not really, because I didn't really know what it was, to be honest. Like when I started writing for metal publications in 2012 or 2011, whatever it was, I actually had no clue what it was. All I knew was that these people had me on a list and would send me promos and then would ask me to write about them. That was all I knew, like literally all I knew. And then I'm not joking, actually, the band Scythe, who I got in touch with them to do an interview. And then the guy said, hey, would you be willing to help me try to find some places to review me? And I'll give you a CD and a shirt, I think is what he said. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And I just didn't know what I was doing, but I just would go up to people and be like, hey, can you review this? Here's a link. And that was basically all I did. So no, nobody really shaped me. I just kind of figured it out as I went along. And I probably still don't know what I'm doing.
That's a complete lie.
Well, I probably don't. I'm probably wrong. Like, according to people, like, honestly, I have zero training in it. I basically go to people and I ask them to review stuff. I ask them to do stuff to get my clients media. That's what I do. Right. So it works, but I mean, like, I probably someone who's gone to PR school or whatever. It's not called PR school, obviously, but you know what I mean. Anybody who has a degree in PR would probably be shocked that I even have a career, because I literally have not been trained in the subject. I've read books on it, but obviously, but you know, I basically, my whole product, as far as I'm concerned, is getting person media placements.
Do you have book recommendations for people who are trying to do their own PR, or?
I got a lot of book recommendations, but I wouldn't recommend reading a PR book necessarily, because I would start with a book on first, maybe on how to like actually talk to people as a number one thing. But one thing that most people are afraid to do is like cold reach out to people.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, all you're doing, like, basically, it might have been tougher years ago when you had to use the phone, but I mean, now it's just emailing, and a lot of people are even afraid to email. So I think if you kind of learn how to get past the fear of talking to someone you don't know, I think that's kind of like the first thing you got to learn. Yeah.
And did you ever have that fear, like when you started out?
Not when I first started out, but I was always really shy when I was growing up. I generally don't like talking to people as a rule. Didn't. Past.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a very outgoing person as a general rule, but I learned how to do it. And now it's like, I'm the guy that fucking just has to go talk to people.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you have to do it, you get over it very quickly, I think.
You do or you don't. I mean, you either want to do it or you don't want to do it. And I mean, I wanted to do this. So it was like, okay, I have to learn how to keep going and talking to people. So that's what I do.
So did you switch to PR because you just found that you enjoyed that more than everything else you were doing, or?
It was more like I fell into it. So with the first band that did it, like literally they just said, can you help us? I'll give you a shirt and a CD. And I was like, okay, shirt and CD. Fuck yeah, I'm in. I'll do it. Right. Shouldn't take me that long. You know, I sent out like, I think it was like 20 emails, got them like five reviews, six reviews. And the guy was like, oh, thank you very much. You know, can you, you know, here's a testimonial. I'm like, oh, cool. I wasn't looking for that, but awesome. And then a few weeks later, someone else that I was writing for, who was doing PR, said, hey, you want to help me? And I was like, okay, sure. And then he ended up paying me, I think it was like $100 or something goofy like that. And it was just like, I'll just keep doing this. And people just kept, I just kept going. So I was like, I'll just keep doing it, I guess.
It's nothing
more complicated than that. It was just like, oh, okay. I guess this is my job now. Excuse me.
Cause you, I mean, like obviously C Squared, it runs the sort of seminars and the challenges and stuff. Do you really enjoy that aspect of it? Do you find yourself more drawn to helping other people promote themselves or to promoting people?
I don't mind either way. The thing I like doing it, but there's two problems, is that a lot of the times people who want to learn how to do it on their own, they don't have the time or the drive to do it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And to be honest, they shouldn't be doing it on their own. But I don't mind teaching people how to do it if they ask. But at the same time, I don't think most people can do this, honestly, because you need to put a lot of time into it. There's a lot of effort that's involved. Like, I mean, I'm usually on from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock every day. Like, I don't get a day off 99.9% of the time. There's a lot to be done, and most people can't hack that. So I really don't think that if you want to get results, I don't think most people can do it on their own. I mean, some people might take that as a challenge, and that's cool, but I really don't think most people can do it on their own.
What could a band be doing if they say they can't afford PR? Because, I mean, decent PR, it's not the smallest cost. And for small DIY bands who are working on a shoestring budget, PR is probably not in the cards for them. What can they be doing?
They got to be networking. I mean, that's really all you can be doing, is you got to be networking. How do I want to put this without sounding like a total douchebag? You got to be contacting lots of people. You got to be talking to a lot of people all the time. And you basically got to know how to sell them on your band without being pushy. While being pushy, you got to be pushy while not being pushy. Like, I'm pushy without coming across as being pushy. Like, people will tell me all the time that either I come off as too strong or not strong enough. A lot of times I'll just be insistent on things, and I'll just repeat things over and over and over again to someone until I get them to do what I want. But most cases, I'm not that. I can do that without coming across as being too pushy, if that makes sense. And that's what you need to do.
I think that's a hard skill to master as well.
It is.
Striking that balance.
It is 100%. Most people can't do it. You either come across as super annoying, or you come across as super insistent. And I don't think I usually come across that way to most people, because there's one thing that I'll do that a lot of people won't do. Like, for example, if I ask people to do things for me, I will, as a general rule, also tell them, I will do something for you as well. Or if they ask me to do something, I'll do it. Most people, like, if you ask them to do something, who ask you to do something for you, if you ask them later, they're gone. They're ghosted, or they didn't ask a message, or, you know, they're too busy, or something came up, right? But you always kind of got to make it known, like, if you're looking for someone, like, for example, like, if you wanted me to share an effigy post, for example, I would do it. But at the same time, like, later though, if I said to you, hey, Effie, would you mind sharing this? And you ghosted me, I might kind of go, yeah, you know what I mean? And I think you can. If that makes sense.
No, I think that's fair. Yeah. And on the subject of then the whole seminars and stuff like that, which has been your favorite to run?
Oh, fuck. It's hard to say. I've gotten told the social media ones went over really well, but also the sales ones. So it's kind of hard to say. I mean, most of the ones I've done, I think we only did like 3 or 4 with C-Squared so far. Don't quote me on that. But I think we did 2 on social media, 1 on PR, and 1 on sales. I think probably the one on sales I like the best, but I think the one that got the best response was on social media, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't think I did that one, which is a shame. Run it again. Older one
that I compared to C-Squared, it's possible. Like, before C-Squared, we used to do one once a month. Now I don't do the one. It's too time consuming. I don't have the time to do it.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, on the subject of like time management, because, you know, you work very hard. You're constantly pushing bands into the hands of reviewers and stuff. You're running these podcasts. You're networking, constantly updating your playlist. Like, what tools have you sort of developed to manage your time?
A list.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. It's a list. I just go through the list. And it's basically basically the same list all the time, with just a few things added every once in a while. So, like, I'm not joking. First thing on the list, check all the social media links, post the social media links, then go down, check to see all the notifications I got, answer any notification. And then I go on to the next step, which is check the email. And then I got more. But it's basically the same thing every single day. There's not much of a variation. It's kind of boring in actual fact.
Oh.
Whatever.
Well, I mean, that's a job.
It is. And I mean, I even got stupid things on there. Like, I'll have, like, okay, client check-in. Like, you know, I don't do that every day, obviously. But, well, actually, most days I do with most clients, not all of them. But, you know, you got client check-in. Double check with client X on blah, blah, blah. Go check with Effie on blah, blah, blah. You know, go check with whatever on blah, blah. But it's generally quite consistent what I do.
So when you've checked in with them, I'm curious about this. Have you ever had a client who's been really dissatisfied? And what have you done to fix it?
It depends, because most of the times when they're dissatisfied, it can't be fixed. They have unrealistic expectations, or they thought they were doing something different. Reversely, I've had it where the thing that weirds me out is when I think a campaign has been botched horribly and we did a horrible, the person is thrilled. Because I'll go in there prepared to apologize and give them extra time, the whole nine yards. And they're like, thank you so much. Really appreciated it. I mean, here's a testimonial from me. I'm giving you this referral, that referral. And I'm just sitting there going like, I did not think that was a good job, but okay, I'll take it, I guess. But
when the unrealistic expectations have been in, what should a band expect then?
It depends, because it's different for every band. Here's a good example, and I'm not going to say the band in question because I'm not going to put them on blast, but last year we did a campaign that, as far as I'm concerned, was extremely successful, knocked out of the park. We had this band got placements in pretty much every major metal publication that there could be. They had a fair number of placements, but I'm not joking you. They got Metal Injection, they got Metal Sucks, they got Invisible Oranges, they got Decibel Man. They got, I think they got Metal Hammer. Don't quote me on that one. We might not have got Metal Hammer. We got basically everywhere. I sent the person a report. I said, here's all the links. Here you go. Thinking to myself, this person's going to be thrilled. They're going to think this is the greatest thing that ever fucking happened to them. And I got back. This was a total waste of my time and money. I can't believe that I fucking wasted my cash on this. And I looked at this message and I went, pardon? And I said, what did you expect? Yeah. They didn't answer. But that person thought that it was a total waste of time for them. And so me, I'm looking at all this and I went, that doesn't make any sense. Like people should be thrilled at this. So just to satisfy my own curiosity, I went to two bands that are ex-clients that are on Metal Blade Records currently. And I asked them, what do you think of this? And both of them said they thought it was fantastic. And if they were given a list like that, they would have thought it was a successful campaign. So, and then I also asked a couple other people that are established, you know, on established labels, if they would have thought that they had a good campaign. They said, yeah, definitely. So this was a band that had self-released independently, and their expectations must have just been like beyond ridiculous, because it was like, I don't know. But to handle something like
that, I guess they wanted their band to explode or something.
I honestly don't know what they expected. And I tried getting an answer. He wouldn't answer me back. He was totally upset with me. I don't know. I honestly don't know what I could have handled. And I also had that happen a few years ago too. Same thing, you know, it was a debut album for the band, got them lots of major placements, you know, and then he refused to make his final payment, said, I'm not doing this anymore. And this was a total waste of my time. And that was it. And I was like, okay,
I think a lot of people expect it to blow their career up, but it's not.
Yeah, exactly. But the best part is this same person who did that tried to work with me again 3 months later. I was like, nah, not happening, dude.
No, yeah, why would you?
No, I wouldn't. Like, you skip out on your final payment. Tell me I did a crap job, and then 2 months later say, hey, let's work together. No, it's not how it fucking works. Not how it works at all.
So in order to get the best results, what does a band need to have prepared for you?
Okay, well, here's a key thing that people have to be aware of. The music has to pass muster first. If we do not think that the music is going to succeed, we are not going to take the client. Because a lot of people will think that they can just pay for PR and anybody will, and they're going to get results. And that's not the case. So we don't take money from people if we don't think we can get them results, number one. Reversely, at the same time, do you sometimes think you can get results and you don't? Yes, that happens sometimes. But the way around that is, like, if you don't think you can get the person results, don't take the money. So what was the question again? I think I went off track.
Like, what can a band have ready for you in order to make the most of their PR campaign?
So the first thing is you need good music. Otherwise, you're not even going to get accepted. You also need good pictures. You need good art. You need to have a willingness to be available for interviews and to write your interviews, be quick on your interviews. Those are the main things, willingness and high quality assets.
Fair.
Easy.
And obviously if you're releasing like an album or something like that, you're going to be releasing singles and stuff like that.
Yep.
Should Do you prefer it if the band hasn't released those singles yet, or if they released them before they come to you? Do you think it makes a difference?
It does make a huge difference. Try to release your singles after you start PR.
Okay.
Not a deal breaker. Like we had Demiricus, for example, signed up with us after they released two singles. Mm-hmm. And I mean, their campaign's going pretty good still, but I mean, like, I don't think it made that much. I mean, we would have had more to work with, obviously, like if they would have waited, but them releasing those singles in advance didn't harm the campaign, and it probably actually helped. They already had that momentum going, you know what I'm saying? But they're also a band that's been on a bigger label in the past, so I don't know if they're in that sense. But like, for example, if you release a single, you should wait until after you've already got the PR in place, because then they can boost it, they can do the press release on your edge of that, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
Cool.
And is there any advice you have for small artists or people if it's their first time doing PR? Or
don't go in thinking you're going to be get the moon. You might, but you're probably not your first time. You got to manage your expectations when you start. Like, if this is your debut EP or your debut single, you're probably not going to get decibel. You might, but there's a good chance you're not. But reversely, again, it's possible you could. Like, I've had placements in decibel for brand new bands. We just had a brand new band on their debut single. They landed Metal Injection. So it's possible, but is it likely? No. So you kind of got to go in there with like your first release. Nobody knows who you are, and and the PR cannot do more than try to get people to write about you. They don't have a magic wand or anything like that. If the publication isn't biting, they're not biting, and there isn't a lot that they can do. They don't have a secret special way to get you in if the writer tells you no. So like, if you want to get, for example, a placement at Metal Injection, and Metal Injection does not like your music, there's nothing that the PR can do to get you in Metal Injection short of you changing your music or doing something different that makes them want to write about you. So I think that answers the question.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty good advice.
Cool.
Do I have any last questions?
Must have more.
I do. I think I have one more, actually. Do you think the way that PR is done and the way that kind of section of the music industry has changed during the course of the pandemic?
It's a tough question because it's been tougher to get placements. There's a lot more music being released is the problem. Mm. So when there's a lot of music being released, there's less of a chance to get in front of people because of the fact, like, if there's 60 albums all coming out in the same week, 60 versus 20, it's going to be a lot harder to get a writer to agree to write about you than it was when there was only 20. So yes, it is a lot harder at times to do that, but it can be done. It can be done. Like almost all of our campaigns have done well. I think we've only had maybe one or two campaigns that didn't turn out the way that I wanted them to since we started C Squared. You know what? You haven't asked me about doer PR and series C Squared. You're failing on your interview skills there, Effie. but anyways, it's tougher. You got to have the PR has to be persistent. The band has to be persistent. There's a lot more that you have to do. It's changed because of that factor right there. That's the short answer.
And I guess to close this off, if there was one thing a band could do tomorrow to help themselves to therefore help you with their campaign, what would it be?
That's a tough one. Can we go off topic for a minute here? Do we have a few minutes? Okay, cool. What can they do to help me? Okay, so here's the key point that I want to bring up. So it's cooperation. That's a key factor. Most people cooperate. Most people are willing to listen. But but one thing that's really frustrating is our bands that think they know all about it and they won't listen to the PR on things. So like if we tell you that, you know, not to really like, I don't want to, I'm trying not to call anybody out specifically here. And so just bear with me here while I try to voice what I'm trying to say without being specific here. A lot of time, okay, like here's a good example. At the beginning of a campaign, we ask for a schedule to be given to us about from the band. And the schedule consists of when are they releasing different things? Like, do they have singles releasing? When? Do they have video releasing? When? That type of stuff. And we need that schedule. So if a band gives me a schedule and then they constantly are dropping things without telling us or telling us last minute, that's very frustrating. We've had clients where it's like, I'll say, give me a schedule. They'll give me a schedule. And then 2 days later, they'll say, by the way, we just released this. And I'll be like, you didn't tell me you were releasing this. I'm like, yeah, sorry, I forgot. And I'll be like, okay, tell me time. I want an updated schedule. Is there anything else being released? No, it's all good. 3 days later, by the way, we just released this. Be like, okay. So yeah, and that's frustrating because then we got to do the press release, write it up, that puts, that just puts a damper on the day. We didn't know it was coming. There was no preparedness, no nothing, and they just drop it. So not sticking to a schedule, I mean, sticking to a schedule helps. Also what helps is, like I said, cooperation. Like if we ask you to get something done, like for example, an interview, just do the interview by the date requested. Do not fucking go overdue and then bitch when you don't get results. Because that's a problem too, is that, like, let's say, for example, I give you an interview to do. You don't turn it around. And then you bitch at me later that you're not getting the placements that you want. And then I'll be like, you have 6 outstanding interviews that are not done. And then the person can't comprehend the fact that they're not getting done the interviews ties in with results.
Yeah.
Another thing is also a key point too that can help us is don't be again, it comes down to cooperation. Like one thing that we won't tolerate is disrespect of people. Like we've actually cut off clients because they've been like disrespectful to a team member or whatever, right? Just because of the fact it's like, you know, if you're going to talk derogatorily to someone and tell them they don't know what they're doing, you know, we're kicking you. We're not going to work with you ever again. And you can't be surprised at that factor later. Like you can be upset with someone, but when you start calling them names or being like an asshole to them or anything like that.
Well, I think that's a productive way to do it. And that's not it.
Yeah, there is, right? Like if you're mad, like if someone got upset with you legitimately, I'm giving you because you're sitting here and you work. If someone legitimately got mad at you and they were upset, that's one thing. But if they're just being a disrespective asshole, that's a different thing. I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah. You know, obviously things don't go the way you want, or someone did something the way you didn't want them to, or they misunderstood something. I think these are reasonable reasons to feel negative emotion, but don't take it out on that person.
Yeah. Like if someone told me, if I found out that someone was calling you an incompetent idiot, for example, they'd be off. Right. So even if you were being an incompetent idiot, I still wouldn't. We talk about it privately. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't, but it wouldn't be like, you know, if the client is doing that, there's a way of saying, you know, someone's being an incompetent idiot. They're acting like one versus that they are, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense.
No, I think that's good. Yeah.
What else do we want to talk about, Effie? There's no way that you got through everything. You told me you were going to be.
No, I just kind of wrote some things down and I'm just kind of winging it right now. is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Is there anything I didn't ask that I should have?
Probably a fair amount. But probably a fair amount that you didn't need to ask about. I think, you know what we should talk about for a few minutes here? Mm-hmm. We should talk about, we kind of touched on it briefly, but what I would like to talk about is kind of like the difference between a PR campaign versus like an ad campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
So this is one thing that I get asked about a lot that I kind of want to clarify, which is kind of like, some people think you can pay people to do placements. And I think that's kind of a bad idea because that's more doing an ad. Like it depends though, because like some places in Europe will want money in order to cover you, which is okay, but I don't really like doing that. Like a good PR is going to get you earned placements. It's not like something that's paid for. Like you pay the PR, but the PR you're using their relationships in order to get you more placements, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. versus, you know, just paying someone. Because if you're just paying someone to write about you, that's basically an ad. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, that makes sense.
So that's the key difference, is a lot of people think like when you pay the PR, automatically they can get you anywhere. And that's not the case. So like, okay, let me ask you, because you were asking me these questions a few months ago. Mm. Sorry to turn the interview around here for a second here. But what would be your, like, if you came to me and you were like, I wanted a PR campaign, because you're fairly new. As an artist, you're fairly new. What would be your, give me some questions that you would want me to answer, and I'll try my best to answer them.
Well, I think, you know, obviously now I understand that it's impossible to quantify, but I guess if I was, well, when I was coming looking for PR, my number one question would be, how can I guarantee that I'm not throwing however much money into the void? Like,
yeah, here's how you do it. So number one, so when you're looking for a PR, number one, you want to go with someone that handles your style. Number one. It's number one. So number two, you are going to want to ask or check with people that have worked with them in the past. So if you want to talk to anybody that's worked with me, you're more than welcome to. Anybody's more than welcome to. There's obviously going to be a few people that don't think I did a very good job, but I think I got a pretty good reputation. Me and Corey got a very good reputation as far as I know. And you can ask people about it. Now, if you're going to be looking at C-Squared for representation, you should be talking to people that work with C-Squared, not people that work with Doer PR, because Doer PR and C-Squared are two totally different things. It's not the same thing. Before it was just me and I did a really good job, but now it's me and several other people. So you might get a different response than before, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you're going to get a good response either way, but I mean, you should be looking at people that we have worked with versus just me has worked with, if that makes sense. Let me go off for 1 second here. That's one thing that actually bothers me, is when people still come to me like I am the person at C-Squared, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't like that, because it's not the case, because there's a number of other people that work here as well, right?
I think so, it's because the email on the on the website is still your email.
because I handle all the invoicing and stuff like that, right? So that's the reason why that is. So, but just for clarity's sake, anybody, let me rephrase this here. So anybody that we work with, Corey and I both have to sign off on.
Yep.
I can't take someone and she can't just take someone. Generally, I mean, if she wanted to take someone, I'd be like, yeah, fine. I trust her judgment, and she would do the same thing with me. But I'm just saying that we have to both agree on something. If one of us does not agree on something, we don't take it. So I don't even know how I got onto this, but it's kind of like a team effort versus just like a solo one person. Mm-hmm. So again, like if you're gonna be checking for C-Squared, check with people that work with C-Squared, not just Doer PR, because it's gonna be a little bit of a different way that we do things. I think we've now got it so that way it's a little bit more streamlined with things. Hopefully that made sense.
What is the difference between the two? Like,
I don't run Doer PR anymore. Dissolved. Well, I think it still exists. I think I still got another 4 years that the name is valid or something like that, or 3 years or something like that. But I registered C-Squared as a business name last, I think I have the paper here somewhere, June. So it's been in existence since June. I am the owner of the company because Corey obviously is American. Really work that way, but in to all intents and purposes we are a team on everything. So if C-Squared, so if we were to split up tomorrow, we would have to discuss what would happen, because obviously we wouldn't be working with the C-Squared name anymore. But you know, for all intents and purposes, it's the two of us work together as a team on things, versus before with Doer PR it was just mm-hmm. me. But once she entered into the picture and we started doing the C-Squared podcast, I figured it was best to change the name, because otherwise it just looks like it's just me, and that's not the case. And then we also have the others come on too.
Back to the question of, you know, how do you know you're not throwing money into the void?
Yeah. So here's what you do. Talk to people that have worked with that person in the past. It's really, really simple. And don't just talk to one person, but talk to several, because one person might have good things to say. Like, here's a good example. So there's a certain PR that likes to say that they worked with a certain large band at one point. And that is true. They worked with that certain large band at one point. And I'm not going to give names. I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this without calling people out. I'm sorry, Effie. They like to give this client as an example of someone that they had worked with. And it's true, they did, and they got really good results. But that was one big name that they worked with a long time ago. And no one, and from what I can tell, no one else since that time period has ever gotten good results with them. But they always put that one as being their star person, right? So you want to ask multiple people, because also at the same time, like, for example, someone went and checked out C Squared and asked that person I said to you that said that they felt like they threw their money away, that they got all these huge placements. They might go talk to them. They're going to hear, wow, they fucking suck so bad. I felt like I lost my money. This was terrible, you know, and that's all they know. They don't know that the person got all these huge placements, blah, 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 and that they were unrealistic. So they talk to the one person and they think I'm shit, that we think they think we're shit. But reversely, if they talk to that one person and they talk to like six or seven other people, they're going to give a vastly different story. So you got to like ask multiple people, not just one, and kind of, and then also when they say that they're satisfied, find out like, what did they get?
Yeah.
So some people are really happy with people that do an email blast and they'll say, yeah, it was great. You know, I got like all these news placements. It was great. I spent $25. It was awesome. But then you dig and then you find out they didn't really get anything very big. It was like, you know, Russian blogs, nothing very big, that type of a thing, right? So you kind of got to, you got to ask and you kind of got to do your research is what you got to do.
Yeah, it was one of, that was one of the things I was doing when I was looking around PR. Like I looked at bands on people's rosters and then Googled them in that release just to see where it got placed.
Exactly. You want to do is you want to go check. And I mean, like you might not, again, it's like you want to do multiple, not just one, because sometimes you might, again, you might knock it out of the park with one band and the other. And also bigger clients are going to get different results. So for example, name we do with Lindsay, for example, established name, is going to do a lot differently than a new band on their debut EP.
Yeah.
Right. Just because this one person is known, the other person isn't known. Like the more, the better known they are, the better the placements are going to be as a general rule, right? Or like, for example, let's say that you're an established band. You don't want to be talking to the newer bands about what they got. Hope that makes sense.
Yeah.
It does make sense.
Cool. Although, you know, if you got the newer band some great placement, that's even better for an established band.
Well, it is. Like, here's a good example. We just got Appearin, I think that's how you pronounce it, Appearin Bound, a whole whack load of major placements. And that's their debut. And they just did a debut single. But that's probably the exception to the rule. Like you're not, like, as a general rule, a band is not going to have happen. But if that band goes and refers us to people, and they probably will, we're going to have a bit of a problem because those bands are going to be like, yeah, they got a Iron Bound, like Metal Injection, Best Decibel and all these things. And I don't know if I could necessarily do that for them because for some reason their songs hit with these publications. These other bands may not hit as hard, even if they might be better or they might be the same. You know what I mean? So it's really hard to say.
So on the flip side, let's say I'm doing this PR now. I want your PR campaign and you've done it for me and you didn't get anything except like two Russian blogs. What is the next step?
That's never happened to me, so I can't tell you what the next
What would you do?
What would I do?
Was this a challenge?
I wouldn't let that happen. One. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't let that happen. That's your answer right there. I wouldn't let that happen.
How do you stop it?
Well, you can usually figure out a way of doing it. Like, if you really need to pull in a favor from somebody, you usually can. Like, if you're just, if you get, there's always a way of handling different things. You can always get at least, you know, 5 to 10 placements, if nothing else. You know what I mean? There's always a way to do that. Unless, you know, like I said, I've never had that happen where it just, I mean, I've had campaigns bomb, but not like that bad bomb.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I mean, you just have to keep persisting and pushing. Like one thing that I'll do, like if something's not taking off in a campaign, what I'll do is I'll try to find anything I possibly can for a placement as an immediate thing. Because once you get some momentum going, then more things happen, right? So like, for example, let's say I was doing your campaign. I sent out a press release, picked it up, resent it, nobody picked it up, resent it again, nobody picked it up. So I'd be kind of panicking at that point and going, okay, there's something going wrong here. So what I would first do is I would start reaching out to places that normally print news. And I'd be like, hi, not sure if you saw this, but can you please print this news? That'd be my first thing. Usually out of all the places that print news, if you do that, you can usually at least get a few places to agree to do it. And if you still can't, you know, there's something really fucking wrong and you have to, and then I would go back and see what, you know, maybe there's a problem with the pictures. Maybe there's a problem with the write-up. I don't know, but if that was happening, I would think that there was something awfully fucking wrong. And I would go back to the press kit first or the press release and start looking to see if there's anything that we could change, because that would be extremely abnormal for something like that to happen. Because usually what the case is, at least what I've noticed with me or with us rather, is that if something isn't getting results, there's usually something wrong in the way we presented it. And we just have to kind of tweak what that is. Or what has happened, and you're going to laugh at me for this, one time I couldn't figure out why a press release didn't bite. We sent it out, and 24 hours later, nothing got picked up. 48 hours later, nothing got picked up. So what happened is that there was a problem. I didn't actually hit send. It was in the draft. So,
expert PR.
Well, this was a long time. This was a long time ago. So I was like... Yeah, so that can happen too, where you have something stupid like that. Or for example, we had a time where I think it was MailChimp had a problem with sending. They had a glitch, and I think it was MailChimp. Maybe it might have been, I don't think it was Holics, but it was probably MailChimp, where it was like the emails didn't go out even though it said that they went out and nothing was delivered. Yeah, so, and it ended up being a technical problem. So that can happen too, right? So first thing you want to do then, I guess, is make sure there's nothing technical on your end, like, i.e., did you actually send on that fucking email that you thought you sent? You know, that can happen. You know, you think you thought you pitched someone, you sent the pitch, it was the greatest pitch ever, and they're not responding, you can't figure out why, and then you go into your emails, you're like, because it's a draft, I didn't hit send, or you thought you sent it and you didn't actually send it. That's usually the first thing. Did you actually do what you think you did? And then number two, is there any technical problems? And number three, what's the problem with is there a problem with the press kit? Those would be the three things I would check.
And because obviously if it's your debut EP single, it's probably not worth you forking out $5,000 for PR for a single not known.
Has anybody tried to charge $5,000 for a single?
Oh, I don't know. There are some really expensive stuff out there when I was looking.
Just for a single sounds a little bit off the charts in terms of money. Someone's
like,
offering...
like how much should a relatively new band be looking at spending? Like what percentage of their budget overall should be going on PR?
I mean, it's hard to say, right? Because it's not going to be cheap. I mean, if you want to spend 50 an email blast from someone, you could do that, but it's not going to get you very good results. You kind of have to look at it from the viewpoint of what am I looking for in terms of professionalism, right? So is a pro band going to spend, you know, for example, $1,500-$2,000 on PR? Yes, they are. Is an amateur band going to spend $50? Yes, they are. So what do you want? Do you want to go for amateur results or do you want to go for pro results? So you kind of got to look at it from that viewpoint. If you're only willing to spend $100, you're most likely not going to get very good results.
But I mean, you always got to think about it, presumably from the perspective of if you're a brand new band and you've never had any placements before, it doesn't matter how much you send out. If the contacts don't recognize your name and they don't know you and you've never been written about, they're less likely to write about you, surely.
But reversely, how's anybody going to know about you unless you do that?
But if you spent a little less than like the pro budget, you could still be put out there to a couple of places.
This depends, because it depends, because some of these places that charge really low have really bad reputations with writers. So it's kind of hard to say. Like, I'm not going to go into names or anything like that, obviously, but there's a few PRs, like PRs, who just do email blasts and just spam the shit out of people. And if you use that person, you are automatically cut off of the vast majority of major publications, because they look at those people as a joke, as a complete joke. So if you or a band hire that place as your PR, and you're automatically written off as a joke, that's going to affect your future campaigns. You know what I mean? So you kind of got to look at it from that viewpoint too, right? So if you're going to hire a dude from, I don't know if you saw the guy that I called out a few weeks ago. I think I showed you that. I'm not going to name his name. But if you hire someone like him, who's a complete joke and nobody respects, I mean, that's going to look dumb on you. Like, do you want to be associated with that? No, you don't. It's going to be worse for your career in the long run, right? Like, nobody want, like, you don't
so
want.
So if you're a brand new band, right, you don't necessarily know how writers view certain PRs. Is there any red flags you should look for when you're seeking out a PR?
Yeah, number one, there's one. Too much or too little being charged. So, like, If someone's like, for example, asking you for $5,000 for a single, that would be red flag. Ask $25 for a single, that'd be a red flag. But again, there are exceptions to this rule, like for the cheapness. Because some people, when they're just starting out, they have to charge cheap. Or they have to work for free. So, I mean, you kind of got to use judgment. But if such and such a company's been around for, like, for example, 5 or 6 years, and they're charging you like $80 or $75, and they claim that they have like 20,000 email addresses or something like that, it's fake. It's not true. And there's no way. And it's just impossible. Like, there's one PR company that claims that they have 20,000 emails.
Yeah.
And $50. For starters, I know that's not true, because most of the people on their list, they admit that they send their, they admit that they send their emails to like PR people. Like, why would you send promos to PR people?
Yeah.
And spamming us, like, oh, I don't want it. And another person, and if you're paying, and if you're sending out 20,000 emails a month, your costs are going to be way too high anyways. Like MailChimp, I think it's $35 a month, and I'm allowed a maximum, I think, of like 2,000 contacts. Something like that. I think 20,000 is something like $1,000 a month. So how are they making, like, I think yeah. I could be, but it's like an expensive amount. Like you can't charge $50, $100 and send to 20,000 contact. Like, it doesn't make sense mathematically.
No, yeah.
And also, like, how good work is someone going to do for $50 unless they're brand new and just starting out?
I always also feel a little sus of people who guarantee certain placements.
It's never going to
trust that. Yeah, you can't know that.
And we don't do that. I actually had someone, what was it? I think it was 2-3 weeks ago, come to me, and they're like, well, I know Corey writes for Metal Injection and Knotfest, so can you guarantee me those places? I'm like, no. Like, why not? I'm like, it's not how it works. It's separate things. I don't do that.
Yeah, just she would lose her credibility so fast.
Well, I mean, yeah. Like, if she wants to pitch them, if she pitches them herself, that's one thing. I've never asked her to write about anybody. I don't think ever, and I never would. But I mean, if she pitches like one of our clients to them, that's a different story. But we don't do that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, and it's the same thing. Like, if a lot of PRs do write for major publications, and yeah, it does give them an easier in, but that doesn't mean they can guarantee you anything. Like, they can't. They write for the place. That's it. That doesn't mean that they can get all their clients in there automatically. It just doesn't work that way. They still have to.
So what is a reasonable budget then? What is a reasonable price that someone should be looking for? Obviously, it's very
Are you asking? Is that what you're asking? Is what do we charge?
Oh no, you charge. I know what you charge. Like,
for us, our minimum is like $600. For a month. A single will generally do a little bit less, because a single can sometimes be a little bit less work, but you know, you're gonna have to pay at least, I would think. I mean, again, it depends, because different PRs charge different prices, and it depends, and what you pay for is what you get as a general rule. But at the same time, like I said, if you're being quoted too high or too low, that's also a red flag. You got to use judgment, I guess is what I'm saying. There's no right answer to this because, like, for example, someone charged $500 for, you know, 6 months of PR and got the person great results. That was a good price for that person. But as a general rule, someone charging $500, 6 months of PR is not going to do that great of a job.
Well, how are they making money?
I don't know how you could do that, but I'm just giving that as an example. Like if someone's charging too low, like I saw something somewhere where someone was offering, I think it was PR for a year for $50, and they claimed to be an established company with links to Sony and everything like that. And I'm just like looking at this, I'm like, there's no way. Like, how does that work? It doesn't even make any sense. You know what I mean?
I'm just picturing them writing emails. Dear Mr. Sony, I have a claim.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Doesn't make any fucking sense. So I mean, you kind of got to use judgment, but again, the key thing comes back to talking to other people, and Google is also a really good thing. So if you Google me and Corey, you can find a lot of good information about us. You can find us, you can also notice that we have a podcast, this one, where we actually have legitimately talked to people that in the industry that are very well known and very credible. And those people would not be coming on our podcast if they didn't think we were credible. So we have, you know, we've talked to people from major labels. We've talked to people from pretty much every major publication. And, you know, they're not going to be coming on our podcast if we weren't legit. You know what I mean? So, but if someone I had a band 3 years ago come to me and they were like, what can you guarantee me for results? And I said, can't guarantee anything. It depends. And they said, well, this other PR told me that they could guarantee me Kerrang for $300 plus more. And I said, well, I can't do that. Good luck, because those people are lying to you. And they said, no, I don't think so. This person sounds like they're legit. I Googled their campaign later. They didn't get Kerrang.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't get Kerrang. They got nothing, basically. And they probably feel like idiots now, but I don't even know why a PR would even guarantee that. But at the same time, I don't know what was said. Also, it could be that they said, I have connections at Kerrang. I don't know that. And which could have been true. I mean, we've got connections at Kerrang too. Does that mean we're going to get them there? Nope. Heck, you interviewed a writer from Kerrang 2 weeks ago.
I know, she was lovely.
But, and you know, that doesn't mean you can guarantee, you can say, oh yeah, I know Angela, and I can get you a review from her. No, it doesn't mean fucking jack shit. It just means you know her. Maybe she's going to be more inclined to open your email now, but
yeah,
that doesn't mean you can guarantee nothing. And it's the same thing. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's all you can really do is if the PR says that they have connections there, that's one thing. If they're saying that they can guarantee you a placement, just run as far away as you possibly can. What else we got, Effie?
I think this question I have is maybe a weird one. If you are running a PR campaign, is it worth paying? Because obviously a campaign might run for 3 months, but your whole release schedule might not be 3 months. Like, it might not be you're not releasing three singles on your album crammed into 3 months. You might be releasing it over 6 months.
Yep.
Would you recommend paying for a bit of PR then and then paying for a bit later? And like, how would you recommend someone go about that?
Let me make sure I understand the question first. So you're asking me, you only have three singles, but you want it to run for 6 months.
Well, no, not necessarily for an entire 6 months. You might want to promote a bit now and promote a bit later. And overall, it evens out to about 3 months. But
just work something out with the PR. Like, I mean, we've done that. Mm-hmm. We had someone a few months ago, I think it was, where they had only three singles, but they wanted to work it out over a 6 month period. But we were only really doing a heavy promotion period during it. 3 months, but they wanted the album sent out to reviewers early. We just worked a certain charge that was fair without having being per month. So I mean, that's what we did. I don't know what other people do, but I don't know. I would just say, like, look, that's what I want to do. Is there any way you can cut me a little bit of a break since you're not doing a full month? You're only doing the whole year. So that's what I would do. Negotiate.
And then I guess final parting advice. How should a client try and negotiate on price?
I don't like that. Well, it depends, right? Because I mean, like, if you're honest and you like, right, like, we've actually had people where they go like, okay, this is my total budget, and if it's like really fucking low, I'll just tell them, I'm just like, look, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Like, you know, if you want us just to do a press release for you, maybe we could do that. Or, you know, that's too high of a budget. I've also said that to people. We don't need that. We can do this for you. So it depends. Like, one thing I don't like is when people just come to me and they say, what's your price? Because, mm-hmm. And the reason why I don't like that is because, again, we check everything before we take people. And I've had people come to me and ask me, what's your price? I'll tell them my price and they'll be like, okay, great, I'm hiring you. And I'll be like, I don't even know who you are. You have mm-hmm. to tell me what you have, what your plan is. You know, I don't know anything about you. I need to hear the music. I don't know what style you are. I had a guy last year get in touch to our Instagram page and he said, hey, I've listened to your podcast. I've checked into your client, following you and Corey on Instagram for a long time, a number of months, blah, blah, blah. Really want to hire you guys for a campaign. How much does it cost? And I was like, okay, well, here's the cost, but like, what's the music? He was an R&B artist who obviously had never heard us, never looked at our stuff, didn't look at our roster, but was trying to offer us like $2,000 to promote him. And I'm like looking at this, I'm going like, I don't, like, what are you doing?
I don't know, maybe he's the next hit in Metal Hammer.
I was like, there's no way this guy follows us. There's no way this guy's looked into our clients. There's no way any of this type of, like, what the fuck is this, right? And I just wrote it back and I said, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Are you sure you got the right email address, right? But anyways, it was just, it's a little bit stupid. So what was the question again? I went off on a tangent.
How like, is it okay to negotiate on price?
I mean, you can always try, but I mean, you don't want to insult the person. Like if someone come, okay, here's a life lesson for you, Effie. And you probably already know this life lesson, but I'm going to tell you the life lesson anyways. So your life lesson is this. The people that go try to cheap you out too much on price are always the most demanding and have the most unrealistic expectations. So if a client comes to me and I tell them the price, and I say, for example, $600 a month or $800 a month or whatever it is, depending upon which tier they get, and they say to me, I'll pay you $100 or $200, that client, if I decide to break my own rule, because I've done this in the past, thinking the person was nice, trying to be nice to the person, cut them some slack, that person 99.9% of the time is going to be one of the worst people I've ever dealt with in terms of my time, in terms of unrealistic expectations, wanting a red carpet treatment, harassing me at all hours of the day, and I have almost always regretted it. But reversely, I have had people come to me who legitimately follow the podcast, who legitimately I know have been following me for a while and talking to me, who have said, I cannot afford what you guys charge. Would you be willing to cut me some slack? That's a different story than I'm looking for someone and just automatically mm-hmm. trying to, you know what I mean? So you got to use judgment on these things. But generally what I've found, like the people that start off super low, I go, I'm sorry, No, I've always regretted it.
So it's obviously very awkward to ask people for their prices.
I don't know. I don't think so, but okay.
Oh, okay. I always feel like it's like super awkward and like how much does it cost? But is that, because you don't like people coming to you and just being like, how much is it? If
No. But the only reason why is because unless it's some, okay, like if it's someone I know, like for example, if someone in an established band came to me and asked me that price, I would have no problem with it. But if it's some band, never heard of, no name, no music behind them, and I have no idea who they are, I don't like that. Like, I think when you came and asked me for price, I'm like, okay, I know who she is. So that's a little bit of a different story. I don't know what her music is like, but I know who she is at least. So I was fine with it, but I still said to you, we still got to check it out.
I was not in a place to PR.
but I mean, the thing is like, it's kind of like, so it depends upon the circumstances if I like it or if I don't like it. If someone wants to ask me, like, what do you charge? I'll tell them. Mm-hmm. Anyways, what was the question, Effie? You got me going on.
Like, yeah, it was when you're asking for PR, because if you don't know anything about PR and you don't even know what to expect or what you could get for your money, it's very hard to explain what you're looking for from a PR company, because if you don't know what a placement is and you don't know what an email blast is, like, there's no way to go, I want an email blast. How do you find out that information from people? Because you can't even tell them what you're looking for.
Well, we have this thing called a podcast, but we've got about 300 and some odd episodes that you can go back and you could listen to a few of them that talk about PR that tell you what it is. That's my snide answer. My real answer, though, is you could always Google what to expect from a music PR. Let's see what happens when you do that. What to expect from a music PR campaign. Wow, there's all these articles that pop up. That's what you could do. I mean, like, in reality, though, I mean, like, even also, again, it comes back to asking people. So, like, let me ask you this question. So when you were looking to hire a PR potentially, what did you do? Did you do background checks on people? Like, what did you do?
Yeah, so I don't know if it's bad to say, I thought I probably couldn't afford you guys at the time.
I remember you said,
I've reassessed my budget. Things are different now, but like at the time it wasn't in the cards. So one of the things I started looking at was smaller PRs in general, but I didn't really know what reach they had, what they could actually realistically offer me. I spoke to a couple of their past clients and asked them what they'd got and if they had anything they could share. I Googled some of their past clients along with the release name to see what placements that release got. It was hard because for a lot of people in my situation, there were like maybe one or two, and I didn't know if that's a bad campaign or if that's just what you expect if you're going with a smaller PR person and you're a debut band. And then obviously I tried to ask people, how much did you pay? And nobody wanted to part with that information reasonably. No one wanted to part with that.
That's weird, because I never have a problem asking people that question, ever. I've gone up to other PRs and been like, what do you charge? And if they don't tell me, they don't tell me. But most people will tell you.
Well, it was before I even went to the PR, because I didn't want to waste their time by having them go through all the stuff and then going, I can't afford you. But yeah, no, the clients wouldn't part with that, not one.
That's weird. No, but I mean, I'll go to competitors and I'll even be like, what do you charge? So, I mean, like, and if a competitor came up to me and said, what do you charge? I would tell them what I charged. I wouldn't give a fuck. And if they're like, wow, that's too much, I'd be like, okay. Or if it's too little, I'd be like, okay, fine, whatever. I don't care. Like, I don't know. To me, pricing isn't a big deal. It's like, if you want to work with someone, and if you want to work with us, for example, I mean, we're pretty new, but I mean, I've been doing this since 2012. Corey's been doing marketing, and she's done PR in other areas too, since 20, probably around longer, I think 10 or 12 years. I don't remember her exact experience level, but it's like 12, 13 years, 14 years, something like that. I don't remember off the top, but she's been doing stuff for a long time. Not all of it metal always, but I mean, she's got a really good background in marketing, sales and stuff like that. And every campaign we've ever done together has always been absolutely phenomenal. So, I mean, like, you can just go check, like what we've done in the past. So, I mean, like, we have a reputation already. So like, if you're coming to someone with a reputation, you can't go and say, you can't start off with a cheap budget.
Yeah.
Right. And if you do, you have to make it worth the PR's while to take you on. Like, for example, if someone came to us and they had a really low budget, but the music was really well done, and they had a good work ethic, we might take them versus someone that's just like, I don't really have a lot of time to help with, to do anything on this. Not really interested in the type of result. Like someone with a bad attitude, we wouldn't be willing to negotiate and help with, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So your attitude, I guess, goes a long way on things is what I'm trying to say. So if you got the budget and you can afford it, go to people that you know can help you. But if you don't have the budget and you still want those people to help you, you got to come up with a good reason why they should help you, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I would never go, like, personally myself, like, if I wanted to work with, I don't know, someone, like, if I wanted to work with someone on something, I would never go to them and just be like, I have $50. Can you help me? I mean, but some people do that. So anyways, are we drifting off the topic, Effie?
No, I think that was fairly on topic, you know. Okay. And if you wanted a specific person to do, so let's say I'm hiring you to do PR and I specifically want Holly to do my PR, is that a reasonable thing to ask?
Yeah, but we could talk it over at the time, right? And just kind of figure it out. Like, usually, like, for us, how it goes is we have two different tiers that we use. Like, we have one where it's two publicists working it, or three. Corey and I are always working them. So by default, if you do the two publicists, it's us. If you want to do three PRs, and it would be either Holly or Aaliyah, generally it's Holly, because Aaliyah doesn't do as many campaigns as a general rule, but usually it's Holly. So if you wanted just Holly to do a campaign with one of us, we could figure it out. I'm sure, I guess it'd be a reasonable request.
Everyone in C-squared kind of has their area of interest, you know. A lot of there's a lot of musicians, and if you were in a prog band, like, Holly would be a good choice, you know. Yeah, knowing that genre pretty well.
We have to answer your question, it would be a reasonable request. We'd work it out. I would just have to figure out the right method of handling it, because she is the in charge on a number of campaigns right now. But again, it depends. She's got to qualify. She's got to make sure she likes the campaign too. And if she doesn't like it, obviously she's not going to take it. Like, I've had campaigns run by both her and Gaia, just themselves. So yes, yes, it is a reasonable request. But again, just going back to something, if you're going to request a specific person to do your campaign, make sure you don't ask in a weird way, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Don't be kind creepy.
Like if someone messages me and says, I want Holly to do my campaign and no one else to do my campaign, and they're being like being weird about it, or they did it with you, I might kind of go, why?
Yeah, that's why? Cool.
Holly, but there's a specific reason you're asking me just Holly. Is that on just Holly or Effie or something like that, right? So I mean, it depends. But I mean, ultimately the decision would come down to, I mean, if the client wanted Holly, for example, to handle it, or you to handle it, or Lee to handle it, we would discuss it, we'd figure it out, and then make sure that person could handle the campaign, they weren't overloaded, and yeah, we would do our best to accommodate people.
And I don't think I have any other questions. So okay. I guess just a kind of fun one. Have you got an absolute horror story?
For PR? Ooh.
Yeah. Just like the worst experience you ever.
The worst experience I ever had. Well, I don't know. I mean, since C-squared started, I mean, it's kind of like that one I was telling you about with the guy that had the unreasonable expectations with the placements. I don't know if that was quite a horror story. That was more like a what the fuck is going on story. In terms of horror stories, it's really hard to say, because I can't really say there's like an absolute like awful, awful thing that's ever happened. But I mean, honestly, since starting C-squared, I mean, it's been pretty, I mean, it hasn't been smooth by any stretch of the imagination, but I mean, the good thing is that, I mean, I work with people that have similar goals to what I have. They're all willing people, and it's not like there isn't a lot. I mean, obviously you get stressy and you get upset and stuff like that, but as a general rule, I think everybody is on the same page. So there isn't really much horror that happens. It's kind of good, because just to toot everyone's horn for a brief second, I know you didn't ask me this, you asked me for a horror question, but just to toot everyone's horn, again, everybody's extremely willing. The people that I work with are extremely competent. I don't think anybody, I have a problem with that. I don't think anybody in there at all, I don't think I have any issues with trust or, you know, ability to like lack of confidence. I mean, even you're fairly new. And like I said to you this morning, I gave you a couple of tasks and I was like, do you have any questions? And you're like, no.
mostly self-explanatory stuff.
Well, no, I know, but still, I mean, like, you'd never done some stuff before, and I'd ask you to do it.
Wait till I botch it.
Well, who cares? I mean, you botch it. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Like, anything can be fixed.
Oh, no, like, I learned something. God. Exactly. Ew. Gross.
Yeah, but I mean, like, pretty much anybody that I work with right now, I mean, they're confident people. You know, Corey and Aaliyah and Holly and are absolutely phenomenal at what they do. Gaia, when she's running campaigns, is phenomenal at what she does as well. You know, everybody, like, I don't know what to say. I mean, like, even with the podcast, when Lindsay does this podcast with us, she's phenomenal as well. She's not really part of C-Squared, but kind of is at the same time. Yeah, I can't give you a horror story. I'm sorry. I mean, you have to toot your horns.
Good.
Is there anything else, or are we ending off?
No, I think that's it. I think you've exhausted everything I had.
I've exhausted Effie. And with that, I don't know what my ending tagline should be, Effie. What's our ending tagline on this one, Effie? That's it.
If you're still with us. Oh.
If you're still with us.
Oh, yeah. If you're still with us, congratulations.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C-Squared.